The verse of scripture that we're coming to consider this evening is verse 6 here in Galatians 6. Now as we focus in upon these words, the subject that I want us to think upon is the role of the gospel minister. The role of the gospel minister. Now in our study of Galatians 6, we have noted previously that Paul, in the first 10 verses of this chapter, is speaking to the Galatians in regard to how they were to treat others. Speaking to the Galatians and how they were to treat others. This is the general theme or thread that runs through these verses. How the Christian is to treat their fellow men and women that are found in different situations in life. In verse 1, the Apostle Paul speaks of how the believer is to treat their brethren that have fallen into sin. We are to seek to restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. When a brother and sister stumbles, when they fall spiritually and they fall into some sin, we are not to forget about them. We are not to abandon them. We are not to condemn them and criticize them openly. But our interaction with them ought to always be to restore them, to see them restored back into fellowship with Christ and making progress in the Christian life. And so Paul speaks here of how we are to deal with those that have fallen into some particular sin. Then in verse 2, God's servant deals with how we are to support and care for others who are weighed down with the heavy burdens of life. He gives the command, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. These words remind us that we are to support our brothers and sisters in the faith as they face personal struggles and difficulties in their lives. And this is what we are to do. This is how we are to live with our brothers and sisters, seeking to always encourage and support one another, even through difficulties and problems that we all face. And of course, these words in verse 2 also remind us that we are to seek to help our fellow men and women who are weighed down with the worst burden of all, the burden of their sin. We are to seek to go to them and speak to them of Christ, speak to them of how they can get the burden of their sin dealt with and removed, and be right with God. And this is our responsibility. This is our duty as Christians, seeking to see those particularly burdened down by sin delivered and rescued. As we then come into verses 3 to 5, God's servant now deals with the important subject of how we are to properly care for our own souls, how we are to treat self. He gives the exhortation here that we are not to be deceived. Instead, we are to prove our own works. We are to put self to the test and make sure that the fruit of God's salvation is actually found in our hearts and lives. This is the most important way that anyone could ever care for their own soul. By making sure it is well with them. By making sure what they have and what they profess is genuine. And they're truly found in Christ. And that they have been born again of God's Spirit. The Bible does tell us on the day of judgment, many, not a few, but many will be caught out. And they will be caught out simply because they believed they were Christians. They believed they were saved. They believed all was well with them. But the reality was, they were not. And these people shall be damned. These people shall be damned. And Christ says there will be many found in this position. Listen to the words of the Savior in Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, how important it is that we heed Paul's instruction here in verse 4 in Galatians 6. But let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing. We need to prove ourselves. We need to make sure that we are truly born again. And what we have, spiritually speaking, is real. And it's not some empty profession. It's not just something that will disappear from our defense on the day of judgment. This is the only way we can properly care for self. The apostle then, in the opening verses of this chapter, speaks of how we are to care for people found in different situations in life. In verse 1, he speaks of how we are to care for the straying. In verse 2, he speaks of how we are to care for the struggling. And in verses 3 to 5, he speaks of how we are to care for self. However, as we come this evening to verse 6, we see here God's servant now speaks of how the Christian is to care for those who serve. How the Christian is to care for those who serve. Notice again what it says in this verse. Verse 6 here in Galatians 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. These words bring before us the important role of the gospel minister. How the gospel minister is to toil, and also how the gospel minister is to be treated. And so this is what is brought before us in this verse of scripture. This is what God's Spirit brought before God's people in the church in Galatia. And this is what God's Spirit is bringing before us tonight. The role of the gospel minister. How the gospel minister is to toil and how the gospel minister is to be treated. I should say from the very outset that the role or position of a gospel minister is one that Christ has established. He has established. He has brought this position into being. The Lord Jesus, as the great King and head of the church, supplies men to occupy this role. He gives men to the church that they might be his ministers or his servants within the church. And don't forget that the word minister really means a servant. The minister is a servant. He serves Christ first of all, and he serves Christ by serving Christ's people. And Christ has given men to the church that they might serve him. Ephesians 4 verses 11 and 12 tell us, and he, that is Christ, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Notice here, Christ gives these men. He gives these men to the church that they might minister amongst his people. He gives preachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the building up of the church. Therefore, the position and work of a gospel minister is most important and vital. And it's most important and vital because Christ himself has given this position, this role, to the church. And then he gives men to occupy this position that they might serve him for the blessing and benefit of God's people. As we then consider the role of a gospel minister, as it is brought before us here in Galatians 6, there are two main points I want us to note in this passage. In the first place, I want us to think about the service of the gospel minister. The service of the gospel minister. The work or service the gospel minister is to engage in is very clearly brought before us in our text. See again what it says here in verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Note the words here, taught and teacheth. Taught and teacheth. Both these words bring before us the truth that the gospel minister is in the business of teaching and instructing. This is the work, the specific work which God has given to the gospel minister. He must be a teacher, teaching and instructing others. This is his business. This is his role. This is his occupation. Many times in God's word, we are reminded that this is the important task which God has given to his servants. Before the Lord Jesus ascended back to heaven, he declared to his disciples in Mark 16 and verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And of course, we refer to this as Christ's great commission. And he was really speaking to his disciples, his apostles. And the great commission was the great work he gave these men to do. And he gives every gospel preacher to do. It was to go and preach. The special work God gave to his disciples was the work of preaching or teaching the truth to men and women. This is what he sent them out to do, to engage in this work. As the apostle Paul wrote to young Timothy, he said to him in 2 Timothy 4 in the verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And the word doctrine means teaching. Paul here was really reminding Timothy of what his duty was as a gospel minister. He was to continually preach the word, continually instruct men and women in the truth. Timothy, this is what you must give yourself to do. This is what you must employ your time doing, preaching the word, teaching the people. Paul also told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Apt to teach. The words apt to teach set forth the idea that the gospel minister must have a desire and a burden in his heart to teach and instruct others. It is to be the great longing of his heart to place the light of truth in the minds, into the minds and hearts of his fellow men and women. And that's what the thought is, they're apt to teach. Oh, this burden, this longing to take the truth and to make it known, to set it forth, to instruct others. Apt to teach. Of course, if we think of the one who is the great example that every gospel minister must seek to follow, the Lord Jesus himself, we see that in his earthly life, he was continually about the work of teaching and instructing others. Matthew 9:35 tells us, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. See here how Christ ministered. His ministry was a teaching and preaching ministry. This was the primary part of the work which Christ engaged in while he walked this earth. He taught the people. He taught the people. And we often think about Christ's ministry being a miraculous ministry, going about and performing miracles and healing people that were plagued with certain sicknesses and possessed of the devil. And we think of these things. But the work that Christ was really involved in was the work of preaching. Listen to what it says in Mark 1 in the verse 38. Christ says, let us go into the next towns. And he's speaking to his disciples here. Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. For therefore came I forth. And really he was saying to them, listen, I've come into this world to work as a preacher, to teach the people. And so we need to go on into other towns. And we need to preach the gospel there also. And we see with Christ that with him it was truly the desire of his heart to speak to others. We can truly say of Christ, he was apt to teach. Apt to teach. It was the burden of his soul to plant the truth into the hearts of men and women. Teaching them is the great work which every gospel minister has been called to. It is their God-given task, as Paul told Festus, to speak forth the words of truth. To speak forth the words of truth. Yet as we think of how the work of the gospel minister is that of teaching, we also need to consider, what is it the gospel minister teaches? What is the subject God's servant is to deal with? What is the message the gospel minister preaches before his fellow men? And of course, this is crucial. It's one thing to be a teacher. But what is it that Christ wants us to teach? What does the gospel minister, what subject must he dwell upon, focus in upon? Well, this is something that Paul sets forth here in our text. He speaks of that which the gospel minister is to deal with as he engages in the work of teaching. And he speaks here of how the preaching of the gospel minister has two elements, or two parts to it. We see here in the first place, the gospel minister is to teach the way of life. He is to teach the way of life. Notice again the first part of our text here. Let him that is taught in the word. Let him that is taught in the word. Paul here speaks of those who are taught in the word. This therefore clearly implies that the gospel minister teaches the word. He teaches the word. Now, the word in this verse has a double meaning in the New Testament. It is used to refer to the word of God. It's used to refer to the scriptures. For example, in Mark 4 in the verse 14, it tells us the sower soweth the word. And that is referring to the word of God. And there's the picture drawn for us there, the parable of the sower. And he was out sowing the seed. And Christ said, the sower sows the word. And that's what the preacher's sowing. He's sowing the word. He's declaring the truth of God's word. And so the word here speaks of the scriptures. Speaks of the word of God. But then this word in our text is also used in the New Testament to refer to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. To refer to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 1:1, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now here we have Christ referred to as the Word. And this is identifying that Christ is the Word. And it is the same Greek word, logos, that is used here in our text in Galatians 6 and the verse 6. Therefore, what Paul is setting forth as he speaks of teaching the word here is the truth that the gospel minister teaches the truth of Christ as Christ is brought before us in God's word. That's really what Paul is saying here. As he speaks about those who are taught in the word. He says, those who are taught of Christ as Christ is brought before us in the scriptures. This is the message the gospel minister primarily declares. He preaches Christ and he declares the truth concerning the Lord Jesus. And of course, this is the way of life. This is the way of salvation. To preach Christ is to preach the way of life. It is to preach the way of salvation to fallen men and women. The gospel minister then is to teach the way of life. The way of life, the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. He is to speak to men and women of their poverty without Christ. And again, this is the role of the gospel preacher. He must speak to men about their great poverty without Christ. They are sinners and they're perishing in sin and they're under the condemnation of God and they're in dire poverty without hope, without Christ. The gospel minister must preach man's poverty without Christ. The gospel minister is also to speak to men and women of the provision of Christ. How Christ has provided for men. How he has come into this world. How he's lived a perfect life, fulfilling the law and earning righteousness for his people. How after he had lived that perfect life, he went to the cross and he willingly laid down his life there to satisfy divine justice, to take the hell and punishment for his people. He suffered in their place and in their stead. They must speak about Christ rising again from the dead, triumphant over the grave, and ascending to heaven. Oh, the gospel minister must speak not only of the poverty without Christ, but of the provision of Christ. And then he also must speak to men and women about the power of Christ, his power to save, his power to save. His power to deliver from the grip of sin and Satan. This is so important. So important. Men need to hear. Men who are struggling, men and women who are struggling in their sin without hope in this world need to hear the glorious message. Christ has power to deliver. Oh, that men would understand this. There are so many tonight and they're in complete despair. Their lives are ruined in such a mess by sin. Yet they're darkened to the truth. Christ has power to save and transform and change. And it is the role of the gospel preacher to declare this, to tell it forth. And of course, the gospel minister must set forth the precept of Christ. Christ commands all men everywhere to repent and believe in him for salvation. This is his precept. Command of the gospel, that men would come to him and be saved. The gospel minister is then to teach the way of life. He is to teach the way of life. He must be absolutely clear with men and women. There is but one way they can be saved. One way they can ever come to know eternal life. And that is through Jesus Christ and him alone. And this is the primary task of the gospel preacher. He is but a signpost, we could say, directing men to Christ as their only hope. Now, do you understand this tonight? Do you really understand this? That your only hope is Christ? Without him, you're under the judgment of God. And you're yet in the broader which leads to destruction. Because really, this is my responsibility and duty tonight. To remind you of this once again. You need Christ. And without him, you're on the road to ruin and eternal loss. The gospel minister is to teach the way of life. To teach the way of life. But then notice also something here in this text. The gospel minister is to teach the way to live. Not only the way of life, but the way to live. And this is brought before us in the last words of verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. See here the words that teacheth in all good things. The minister of the gospel is to teach in all good things. That is, he is to instruct God's people in the way they are to live. He is to teach them all good things, that they might develop and grow in a good and godly manner. Now again, this is the duty of the gospel preacher, to teach and instruct God's people in all good things for the purpose that they might live a life that glorifies and honors God in every area of life. The wonderful thing about God's word is it covers every area of our lives. It covers every area of human life. It instructs us how we are to live as individuals, how we are to care for our own souls and develop spiritually. And God's word tells us how we are to do that. How we are to care spiritually for ourselves and to give ourselves to prayer and to feed upon the word of God. God's word also teaches us how we are to behave within the family unit. How we are to be a godly husband or wife. How we are to be a godly parent or a godly son or daughter. God's word instructs on these subjects. These important subjects about life. Furthermore, God's word speaks of how we as Christians are to behave in the workplace. And behave both as an employee and an employer. God has something to say on these matters. These important matters. Then God's word also deals with how we are to behave in society. And respect those in positions of authority over us. And of course, God's word deals with how we as believers are to behave within the church. How we are to worship and serve Christ. Again, God's word speaks to us on these matters. For the child of God, then every part and aspect of life is to be regulated by the word of God. By that which God says. Now it is the task and role of the gospel minister to continually bring this before God's people. And to continually teach them how they are to live day by day lives that will bring glory to the Lord. And this again is the duty of the gospel preacher. This is why after Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, preach the word, he then declared, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And this is how he was to deal with God's people. After he preached Christ as the way of salvation, he was continually to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. The simple truth is, we need to be continually reminded of God's will for our lives. We need to hear the word of God continually preached. Because we are by nature forgetful. And we are by nature wayward. And this is true of each and every one of us. We need to continually hear Christ speaking to us in his word. We need to continually be directed by the word of truth because we are prone to wander and leave the God we love. This then is why Christ has given to the church pastors and teachers. It is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ. That word edifying is very much connected to the word edifice. Edifice. And we think of an edifice as a building. It's a tall building that has been built up. Well, this is the work of the minister. He's to edify the body of Christ. Seek to build it up into a glorious body or a glorious building. And so he's to preach all good things. Paul then in this verse speaks of the service of the gospel minister. It is to teach the way of life, the way of salvation. And it is also to teach the way to live, the way to live as a Christian in this world of wickedness and sin. So we have here the service of the gospel minister. But then the second thing I want to note tonight is the support of the gospel minister. The support of the gospel minister. Paul makes it clear here, it is God's will that God's people support and provide for the gospel minister who labours amongst them. See again what it says in our text in verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now the key word in this verse is the word communicate. We wouldn't use that word today in this sense. When we speak about communicating, we're thinking about talking. Talking one to another. But the word communicate here means to share or to distribute. And so we could read this verse, let him that is taught in the word share with him that teacheth in all good things. Or let him that is taught in the word distribute to him that teacheth in all good things. God's servant then is speaking to the Galatian Christians of how they are to support and provide for the practical needs of those who teach them God's word. And that's what he's bringing before the Galatians here. This is how you are to support the gospel minister. You are to provide for them. You're to distribute to their needs. Share with them of the wealth that God has put into your hand. Support them in a practical sense. Now this is a principle or truth that runs throughout all of God's word. The gospel minister is to be supported by God's people. This is a biblical principle. Something that God has brought before his people, even from the earliest of times. And 1 Corinthians 9 in the verse 14, it puts it like this. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live off the gospel. They that preach the gospel should live off it. Notice here, this is what God himself has appointed. He has ordained that. Ordained that they which preach the gospel should live off the gospel. In other words, this should be their work. They should receive an income as they preach the gospel and minister to others. In the Old Testament, the Lord told the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 12 in the verse 19, take heed to thyself, that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the earth. And so the Lord was telling his people, listen, be careful you don't forsake and forget about the Levite. The Levites were the men who worked in the temple. They were the men who taught the people of Israel God's word. But God reminded the Israelites to make sure and provide for the Levite. Don't forsake them. Don't forget about them. Or in the words of our text, communicate unto them. Give to them that which they need. It is then God's will for his people that they support and practically provide for those who minister to them the word of God. We can say this is God's will. As we then think of what Paul says here, there are a number of things I want us just to note about this whole subject of supporting the gospel minister. As we come to God's word, we see that the reason for supporting the gospel minister is clearly given. The reason for supporting the gospel minister. The reason why God's people should practically support the man who has the responsibility of preaching the word of God is that that man might give himself to this vital and important work. The work of being a preacher. The work of teaching. And that's why the gospel minister is to be supported in a practical sense. This is the reason for it. So that he might give himself to study and labor in the word. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15 speaks of how the gospel minister is to study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Think of the language that is used there. He's to be a workman. Not working in the things of this world, but a workman working with the word of life. And this is what he is to do. This is the work he's to engage in. Paul also said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. No man that worth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. And of course, Paul there's using the analogy of a soldier. A soldier cannot be running the business at home while he's in the battlefield. That would never work. He would be absent most days. He wouldn't be there functioning properly as a soldier, and the enemy would come in. It wouldn't work. So it is with the gospel minister. He must not be involved in the affairs of this world, but he must give himself to the fight of warring for his King and Savior. And this is the reason why God's people are to support the gospel minister. It's all for the purpose that he might give himself to the labor and work of feeding God's flock. But then notice not only with me the reason for supporting the gospel minister, but the righteousness in supporting a gospel minister. The Bible also speaks of how it is the right and just thing for those who labor in the word of God to receive payment for their work. Now listen to the words of 1 Timothy 5:17-18. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And the laborer is worthy of his reward. Very important words these are in regard to this subject. The Lord says it was unjust. He told the people of Israel it was unjust for the ox that treadeth out the corn to be muzzled. That would have been an unjust thing. He says that would not be fair. As that ox labored and treaded out the corn, that heavy work, it was proper that that animal was able to eat even while it worked in that sense. That was the fair thing. He says the laborer is worthy of his hire. And Christ is speaking this in relation to the minister being paid for his labor. The Lord Jesus therefore brings before us the truth that it is a righteous thing to support, practically support, the gospel minister. As the Lord Jesus sent his disciples out to preach, he told them in Matthew 10:10, the workman is worthy of his meat. And again, there's a thought of justice there. He's worthy. It's a fair payment. The gospel minister then should be supported and provided for in a practical sense because this is that which is right and just. It is right and just. And then the final thing I want us to note about supporting the gospel minister is the reward in supporting a gospel minister. The reward of this. The scripture makes it clear that God takes note. Takes note when his people support the preacher of the gospel. And the word of God speaks of how there is a reward for those who do so. And this is what Christ said in Matthew 10:42. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Notice the Savior speaks here of someone giving a cup of cold water unto one of these little ones. One of these little ones. Now this reference to little ones is not a reference to small children or infants. The little ones here refers to the weakest and feeblest of Christ's servants. The weakest preacher. The feeblest gospel minister. And what does Christ say? That person who gives his weakest servant a cup of cold water, the meanest of things, that person will not lose his reward. That's what Christ was emphasizing. He was emphasizing there is a reward when you support the gospel minister. Of course, we have wonderful examples of this in Scripture. We could think of the widow woman Elijah lived with in Zarephath. Remember, Elijah went to live with the widow woman in Zarephath? And as he approached this woman, she was out gathering a few sticks to make her final meal. Because all she had was a little meal in a barrel and a little oil in a jug. Enough to make one final meal for her and her son. And she was going to make this meal and they were going to eat it. And they were resigned to the fact that after this they would perish with starvation. what Elijah say? Listen, go and make me one first. And afterwards make for your son. And she did this. And she didn't lose her reward because that barrel of meal never ran out. And the jug of oil never ran out. And they were saved alive from the famine. Think also of what happened to her son when he died. When he died, he was restored to life. This was the woman who was communicating to God's servant. Think also of Elisha. Remember the woman in Shunem provided for Elisha? She was a woman of wealth, a woman of substance. And as she watched Elisha coming through Shunem, she thought, listen, let's make him a little apartment on the side of our home. And she said to her husband, and they made it a little room with a bed and a table and a stool. And there was somewhere for Elisha to stay. She communicated unto the gospel preacher. And what happened? This woman who was barren, God blessed her with a son. She didn't lose her reward. And also, of course, her son died, but was raised to life again. She didn't lose her reward. You see, the Lord is no man's debtor. He's no man's debtor. And when the Christian supports his servant, they shall in no wise lose their reward. They shall in no wise lose their reward. This is the support for the gospel minister. And of course, it is hard to deal with these subjects because you are a gospel minister. But I seek to simply preach the word of God tonight. Bringing his truth before God's people, even in regard to this subject. Yet in conclusion this evening, as we think of the role of the gospel minister, we must not lose sight of the great reason why God provides men to preach his word. The reason why God does this. It is, as Paul says in Ephesians 6, verse 19, to make known the mystery of the gospel. It is so men and women might hear of Christ, might hear of the Savior, and be saved. To hear and know the gospel is the greatest blessing apart from salvation itself. And your privilege tonight in this gathering, to once again hear the message of the gospel from the lips of a gospel preacher. Your most privilege to hear of your need of Christ. Now I would urge you, do not despise this privilege, but recognize your need of salvation this very night and flee to Christ. I am but a signpost, but a servant, but I direct you to the Savior. You need to get to him. You need to claim him as your Savior. Trust in him for salvation. For this is why God has given to you a gospel minister, that you might be saved. I trust God will bless his word to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen and amen.